Before we start today's show, you guys should know we do an exclusive episode just for subscribers of the Gas Digital Network. That's right, our Friday episode is exclusively for subscribers, so not only do you get over 1,000 episodes that are ad-free, uncensored, and not available anywhere else in the world, but you also get a bonus episode of the Real Ass Podcast every single week.
If you want to try out the network, use the promo code RAP, R-A-P, today. Get a 7-day free trial. If you like it, keep it and get access to the archives, uncensored episodes, ad-free, and again, that bonus episode once a week.
Plus extra member benefits like access to the Racist Live Chat and discounts on tickets to live events. The brand new Gas Digital Network. So go to gasdigital.com or download the apps for both Apple and Android.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're from Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Is that your choice? You put that on?
Don't worry about a thing. Because every little thing is going to be all right.
Is it because of Iran?
Don't worry about a thing.
Yeah. I feel like your
every
vibe
little thing
is the exact opposite of this song.
It's gonna be all right. No, I'm chilling, dude.
Yeah,
I'm in Jamaica right now.
In your mind?
At the rising sun. Da 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 da. Arrived at my doorstep. That was the name of the song, Three Little Birds.
Hey, Mr. Lewis, you bring another one.
Da 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 da. This is a giant screw.
Oh, improv. Look at this kid.
Yeah.
I am what they call checked out, folks.
Okay, let's go.
You guys can run the show yourself.
We're getting Dunzo Lewis.
Can my friend is adult. That's actually a bolt.
If you reset the timer, I need to count down the timer. What's wrong with you guys? How you guys doing? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
What up?
Puerto Rican rattlesnake, king of things, coming at you like Cleopatra with the international superstar, Zach D'Amico.
Hey, buddy. I hope you're having a great vacation with
you
the family.
Pope, I'm having a great vacation. Two incredible guests, as always. Ladies and gentlemen, you know and love them from the Brand New Jerks podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Donnelly back on the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And from the Chakra Poppers, ladies and gentlemen, Sydney Gant.
Let's
joins
go.
The show one more time. Once again.
Thank you.
Back on the show.
I love the bullets.
Yeah, doggy.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm in vacation mode.
So I don't know the backstory. What happened? You couldn't go on your vacation so that we get like... chill you for this, or are you just saying you're on
no,
vacation?
I'm going.
There's a pre-tape.
There's a pre-tape.
Oh,
this
shoot.
One comes out next Wednesday.
Right, okay,
I will
sorry.
Be in Jamaica, man, when this one is playing.
Please do everything you've done here in Jamaica and see how pissed Jamaicans get.
No, they love me, dude. They love me. I'm a pro at going to Jamaica.
Really?
I'm very good at it.
You go all the time?
This is my 10th time.
Oh, okay.
This is my 10th, which is also it's kind of a big deal. Number 10, that's a fucking huge number right there.
I'd say you can call yourself a regular.
I can call myself a Jamaican. Yeah. If you come back more than once, they say you're honorarily Jamaican.
That's what they tell tourists, I feel like. That's what they tell.
I am. Right?
Yeah, that's the one drop law.
I am a tourist, yes.
Do you have, because the thing is, you have a place that you go every time, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be the same spot.
No, it's not the same spot. We go to different villas every time. Not every time. There's one villa that I've been to 3 or 4 times, and this time it's a brand new villa. I've never been to this villa before. I'm nervous. What if the food's not as good? Shannon, what if the food's not as good?
I don't think it's worth it to go without Miss Janet.
You're right. I'm going to miss Miss Janet.
She's great.
She was fucking awesome.
She was someone at a particular villa?
She's the cook at our villa that we rent for the guest digital retreat.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you, is that why you always go back? Or is it like what attracts you to Jamaica every time besides the...
It's just it gets me in the mood, dude. You get off the plane, right? You get through customs. As soon as you walk through that fucking gate, you're at this like little like platform area where they're like cars coming for people, and like, you know, they have like, you know, a shuttle set up to go to hotels and all this other stuff. But it's a little stand that has fucking red stripes and Jamaican beef patties, and you go get your first red stripe, you get your first Jamaican beef patty, and you're like, I'm in fucking Jamaica. Yeah. And I've been to a lot of other places, a lot of other beach vacations, a lot of other places. I've been to Belize, I've been to Costa Rica, I've been to the Bahamas, I've been to Mexico, I've been to all these fucking places. And it just doesn't hit in the same way. And every time I'm in another place, I go, you know what? I wish it were Jamaica.
I've only been to a couple of beach vacations, and my favorite was Maui. You ever go to Maui?
Yeah.
And they have an open air airport there. And I'm like, they should make all airports open air, and you save on people getting aggravated. Because the minute you land, like you said, with that booth or that stand, you just, all your worries go away, because you just immediately, because you're like, you feel the air right away.
It feels so good. It's good. Shannon, what's the weather right now in, I don't even know which part of Jamaica I'm going to be honest with you. Let's just say Treasure Beach. What's the weather in Treasure Beach, Jamaica right now, Shannon? I'm getting pumped.
Psyched.
Look at it. Oh my God. Now when it says rainy, that doesn't mean rain.
What does it mean?
It means intermittent rain.
Yeah, it's like it'll rain for like spritzy. It's so beautiful. Then at one point the clouds just open up, and then it's even more beautiful with rain just pouring down on you for a second, and then it goes right back to being 90 degrees.
It's scenic
and sunny. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you a beach activity guy, or I'm going to sun myself guy? I'm going to relax on the beach and get a little tan, a little Puerto Rican tan, if you will.
More of relaxing and eating, and, you know, we'll do a couple excursions.
Okay.
We'll probably do a little, like, boat, like, fishing trip, and maybe, like, a little hike up a mountain or some waterfalls or something like that. But for the most part, it's just eating incredible food and just listening to reggae music. I'll play some hacky sack.
I'm bad.
Yeah. Play with my kendama. Yeah. I'm fucking
just to hit all the points.
Yeah, dude. But it's for the family, dude. It'll really be awesome. It's fucking like you give them the. And I'm stopping doing this, by the way, Shannon. I'm not doing the family. I think this is my last extravagant family vacation.
Why?
They don't appreciate it.
They don't fucking appreciate it at all. My family is trash. It's a fact. And they don't appreciate it. And I spent a lot of money.
And now they expect it.
Well, there's almost no way your son could appreciate it. Does he ever remember a time where he wasn't going to Jamaica?
No.
That's
in fact, he thought this was his second time going. This is his third time. I was like, you little fucking cocksucker. You don't even remember full trips that we take. Why am I wasting my fucking money on this? No, what I wanted to do was I wanted to establish during my son's formative years, I wanted him to have really cool memories. Mm-hmm. My Aunt Amory is 86 years old. She's going to go soon. You know, she never flew. She never did anything cool. She, you know, I wanted my son and my niece to have memories with their aunt. I wanted them to have memories with the family. All those years we were like a little kid, like my memories for being that age was like going with my friend Rocky's family to Atlantic City.
Mm. Yeah.
And by the way, I really think about him in like, up until I understood how trash that vacation was, like years later, it was a pretty incredible fucking like thing, dude. We'd say at Bally's. And I remember we get breakfast at Bally's, just the restaurant in Bally's. It wasn't anything. It was just the restaurant at Bally's in Atlantic City. The B didn't work. It said Alley's. It couldn't be shittier.
which should be the name of all of Atlantic City.
It really should be. All Alley's. And I remember going down and getting the breakfast, and I ordered blueberry pancakes, and the pancakes were like, you know, twice the size of your head. It was just massive. And just being like a little kid and being like, wow, dude, it was such a big deal. Like going to the arcade on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. It was such a big fucking deal. When Rocky's mom wasn't looking, we'd go, there was, this is such a New Jersey, I'm sure it's like a boardwalk everywhere thing from the 80s and 90s. But it was essentially like, you remember the toy that you go, and it would do
your
that?
Viewmaster.
A Viewmaster. Yeah. they had those, a big metal one set up, and it would be in the middle of like an arcade on a boardwalk, and inside of the Viewmaster was like old-timey naked pictures of chicks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, what do they call it? It's like not a Nickelodeon. It is a Nickelodeon. Yeah, that's where they got it from.
Is that what
it's
called?
Yeah.
So I remember my friend Rocky's mom would fucking dip off, and you'd go fucking, and you look at nudie pictures of girls, and like that was what you do. And then also I remember in Atlantic City in the 80s, it's like 88, 89, I'm like 7 or 8 years old. His mom was, they were gambling. We were just in this like.
On our own,
in an arcade in Atlantic City. Me and my fucking gay friend Rocky, who were 8. It's fucking bonkers thinking about this. But I remember the game where you drop a quarter on the slot and then it lands on the thing and then it pushes it into the other quarters and the things fall off. Now, today it exists in every arcade and tickets come out, right?
Yeah.
But back then, as a kid, you could gamble. It was actually gambling. You had to keep all the quarters. So literally, we're just fucking playing this fucking game and looking at nudies at 8 years old. What a fucking time.
And quarters to kids might as well be gold doubloons.
Dude, quarters to kids, it's ready to go for a video game. The only thing I wanted for is a bag of chips or a video game. I got it already ready to rock.
Dude, we used to stay, I had the same exact experience. We used to stay at a place called the Irish, it's still there. Irish Pub is still there. It's open 20, it's a bar that's open 24 hours.
Love it.
They used to have a hotel on above it. And I would go with my mom and my grandmother, and we were left up to our own devices, and they would just gamble all day. And we would just walk around Atlantic City finding random trash and playing with it.
Dude, I almost want to take the family on an Atlantic City vacation to show them fucking.
The last time Lewis and I were in Atlantic City, we went to the arcade in the hotel. And there was a homeless guy asleep under one of the machines in scrubs. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember it. But that was my only vacations as a kid, were literally Atlantic City, Seaside Heights as a little kid. But I don't have any memories of it. I just remember the pictures of it, you know?
Yeah.
But I never had anything. So when my kid, I made a decision. I was like, dude, when my kid is old enough to have memories, I want him to have really cool memories, right? I want him to have these cool, unique experiences. Me and him visit somewhere cool every year. Just me and him, and then we do a family trip every year. But the family trip at this point, I feel like I did the what was intended, which is to give them some incredible memories when they're young.
Sure.
And at this point, I feel like I should just buy like a spot in the Poconos and like do a week in the winter, week in the summer, rent it out to fucking like Airbnb it and fucking
have the same effect.
The Gas Digital crew, that'll be our trip in the fucking winter. It's gonna be a multi-purpose fucking
Tom,
place.
Well, he says it's cheap.
Tom says it's cheap. Tom. Yeah. Tom. What are you saying?
He needs comparison. He's not going to know how cool his memories are until he hangs out with my kid and hears his vacations.
Yeah, what is your kid's vacations?
Dude, we just go to Atlanta. We just go to Ocean City.
Ocean City, yeah. Maryland.
I got arrested there.
We hang out at the boardwalk. Maryland. And then I'm like, you get $5 a piece for video games.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it. That's great, though. But honestly, it's those memories are fucking incredible. Yeah. You know, like, one of the coolest memories we have is like going to Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, kind of a trashy boardwalk.
Mm, we went there. Yeah.
You know, just not like, granted, we ended up going to the Tiger King's place or the Doc Antle's place.
Oh, was that nuts? Wait, this is after, was it shut down or was it going?
No,
it's still
going on.
They still have it.
He got arrested. He's like in jail for tax evasion.
Yeah.
But that place is like it's crazy. They do like 3 or 4 tours a day. It's like $400 per person for the tour. And it's like,
that guy could have been a cult leader if he just had a little bit more.
He kind of is.
Yeah. Right. Then they have
more or less
employees
with like a harem of women.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
It rules.
When you see those pictures of him when he was like in his 20s,
we got to all pretend we don't want a harem of women now.
Oh man,
this is so gay.
A harem would be great. That'd
just
be
like, imagine you go home and there's 6 different bitches there, and they're all willing to suck your dick. It rules. Why are we acting like that's great? Like everyone's like trashing Chris D'Elia. It's like Chris D'Elia wanted a cult of women that would blow him. It's like, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Nobody does it.
He wanted a cult of hot teenage girls to do his laundry and blow him every day.
I don't like the fact that he got it.
It's like
that's what pisses me off.
It's like Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa. I was just thinking the same thing.
Dude, young Doc Antle, dude. Look at him, dude.
Yeah, when you see him in the Tiger King documentary, you're like, this guy pulled all this off?
Yeah, but you know what? In this one thing, it's about your formative years. He established that fucking je ne sais quoi during his years, like his young age.
Michael McDonald.
Doug, And by the time you're that age, you're just good at getting pussy.
Yeah.
All you know your whole life is getting pussy and tigers.
You know all the tricks. Yeah. Pussy and pussy.
And tigers is one of the biggest tricks for pussy.
It does seem like people who are into exotic animals are also into group sex.
Yeah. Yes, it goes hand in hand. Yeah. Definitely.
There's not enough adrenaline for single person sex.
Yeah.
It's just too mundane.
What do you think happens? Because I think there's also a type of woman who is into the guys who are handling these wild animals. So do you think it's like this animalistic thing that they're
those leopard print halter top?
I dated a girl who went through the process specifically at Doc Antle's place of like she went and she was gonna do whatever was like an internship. And like she was like she met with them and she was gonna do it and she was kind of a hot chick. Kind of into group sex, into kind of like weird shit, dude. I'm telling you right now, she was like going to be one of those chicks, and then she ended up not making it through the level. It was almost like an audition process.
Yeah, he's got that's a farm team.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in the Doc Antle minor leagues.
Dude, he's a fucking man, dude. Doc Antle, you know what? Doc Antle, even though he's in jail, real ass dude. Fuck it. Let's go. He's a real ass dude. He's got bad attitude. One might feel he's ready. He's a real ass dude. I'm going to take, like, yeah, look at him.
And Tiger King, he's in jail for his life? No.
Something like that.
No, he's in jail for, I think, attempted murder.
Oh, okay, so it's at least a big...
Oh, yeah, he was going to try to murder that bitch.
Yeah.
Okay, that was it.
I went to... Is that not Jackson? What's the area that...
It's in Florida, yeah.
Florida, but I was in Florida, and they were like, she lives in the town I was doing comedy once. And I went to a barbecue place and they're like, oh, we see her riding her bike all over the town. And everybody just is freaked out by her every time
they don't like her.
They don't like her.
Yeah.
Well, she probably killed her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It seems pretty likely.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. I'm not, so look, I'm not, I think this is the last big crazy family vacation. Mm. I think, you know, a nice place in the Poconos. Come on, baby. Poconos is nice. You go skiing in the winter near a lake. You get a fucking hot tub. Shannon, what does $300,000 buy me in the Poconos?
The Poconos.
$300,000.
You can get a peek.
Can you get something dope in the Poconos? Just type in Zillow, the Poconos, $300,000.
I know it's cheesy, but that duplex hotel with the fucking champagne hot tub that I did was probably my favorite trip I've ever done.
Dude, you don't need. We did the gas digital trip in the Poconos. It was incredible. Am I wrong about that? Did we not have a blast in the Poconos?
Yeah, I had a great time. The house is amazing.
Dude, we just took a. So for spring break, we took a family trip to Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
Okay.
And just drank spring water and went to a fucking Roman hot bath.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
The kids and everything, they use steam rooms and all that shit.
We did the whole thing together.
Yeah, I love that. I'm surprised they have that in West Virginia. I feel like they just be like, there's one of those gay baths.
Yeah. I mean, that was the name in parentheses. It was gay bath.
So I just searched, and it's kind of like going to like pretty cheap places.
Whoa, go to hit that 319. Hit that guy. Look at that guy.
That's how many bedrooms is that? That's three bedrooms. That's nice. Let's
see. Three beds, two baths. What are some of the amenities? Look at that guy, Shannon.
Pony path. You can't beat that.
Pony path, that's fun.
Yeah, so they're all like cabins.
Yeah, you get like a cabin. Dude, this would be fucking great. The family gets to go visit.
We had a family reunion once in Poconos, and it was like they have these things where everybody just rents their own bungalow house. I don't know if they exist anymore, but
yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah, where it's like on campsites.
Yeah.
Is that a song? No,
these bedrooms are pretty small.
These are tiny-ass bedrooms, Shannon.
That's totally redone for Poconos. That is like... Fancy pants.
Is there a sauna or a steam room or anything like that, Shannon? That's what
I
we need.
So.
You got a sex chair
fire
out back.
A fire pit, Shannon. Shannon, a fire.
You picked it. You wanted that one.
Shannon, no. Go amenities.
Wait.
Hit more. There we go.
I am surprised. I thought it would be more. If you hit like $400,000 or $500,000, I bet you it goes way, way beyond what you think it is.
Dude, must have pool. Shannon, what about one with a pool? Do you think we can get one for $300,000 with a pool?
Let's see.
Ooh, not so fast.
None?
Nope. I don't even have a price filter. There just aren't any with pools.
There are no pools.
There's
the
nothing
Poconos.
With pools in the Poconos?
No, I don't have a price filter.
Maybe that's the plan, dude. Fuck this. Fuck all these expensive vacations anymore. Then after a few years, that becomes passive income, boys.
Mm.
Then after, then when I once I get canceled, that's my home, boys.
Just go off the grid in the Poconos. Write a manifesto.
Let's go. Get some guns. Hunt. Grow some fruits and vegetables.
You get to the point where you just stay there, even pre-canceled. Just go there and get out of the city.
Sounds like a better time, better life.
Yeah,
it's a better life. All right. So what's going on? Actor Billy Dee Williams says it should be okay for actors to do blackface. I like this.
Let's go.
Okay, let's take a quick moment and thank Capsulite for supporting today's show. We love Capsulite. If you guys like to party and drink, Capsulite has you covered because they prevent that awful feeling from the day after drinking. You take it before and during your night out, and it's truly the most potent product on the market. You wake up the next day feeling like $1 million.
It's doctor formulated, it supports your liver, and it eliminates the toxic byproduct of alcohol that's the actual cause of symptoms of a hangover, not dehydration. And it comes in a fun little portable packet, so you can take it right to the bar or the club with you. You take it before you drink and while you're drinking, and you wake up the next day feeling great.
Yeah, this is going to be a must-have for Skankfest. So if you guys are going to be coming to Skankfest here, you got to get some Capsulite. Just go to Capsulite.com. That's Capsulite.com. Use the promo code GAS when you check out. You're going to save 30% off today. Once again, that's promo code GAS at Capsulite.com. All right, where were we?
I'm going to play the clip for you. Please. It was on Bill Maher.
Othello, I fell out laughing. He stuck his ass out and walked around with his ass.
Problematic.
You know, it was like, you know, because black people are supposed to have big asses, right?
I understand.
I fell out laughing. And I thought it was.
Bradley Cooper thinks he's got a problem with the nose.
I thought it was hysterical. I loved it. But see, I love that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's not blackface, it's black ass. Yeah. Shannon. Shannon, people are allowed to do black ass if they want to.
I love that he's got the Colt 45 next to him. Brand loyal.
Is that true? Does he have it next to him?
That's look at it. He's got a Colt 45 on the table next to him. Okay. Brand loyal for fucking 40 years.
You think he gets... Oh, he's just so old that he's like, I'm just glad to be talking to somebody. he just wants the company. So he's like, I'll just say whatever.
I mean, I'm sure he gets... He's well paid because he's got Star Wars money and he's got Batman money.
Oh,
Play the clip, Sean.
Good point.
Day, I mean, they would never let you do that.
Why?
Blackface?
Why not?
Because
you should do it.
That's your point of view.
If you're an actor, you should do anything you want to do.
Okay, that's it. All right,
I'm fine with it.
Fine.
Yeah, let's all vote.
Now, Billy Dee Williams is Zach's new favorite actor.
Well, because so he got bought out. So not only is he in that first 90 Batman.
Right.
Who was he?
He was Harvey Dent.
And then he wasn't Harvey Dent.
Right.
So they had to pay him. I know it was in, because Marlon Wayans got paid to not be Robin.
Really?
And he still
gets
money.
No, he got paid to not be Robin people anymore.
Because he was supposed to be Robin in Batman Returns, and then they cut that.
Well, because
there was too many people in the movie.
Because he was already locked. He was already signed. Uh-huh.
And then Billy Dee Williams was supposed to be the Christopher Walken part, and he was going to become Two-Face when she electrocuted him.
Okay.
Then they cut him, but it was in his contract that if they ever recast Two-Face, that he had to get his money still.
Wow.
So I think him and Marlon Wayans still get residual checks on all those Batman movies to have not been in them.
That is, we'll talk about a deal. Yeah. Holy, that's what you want. Talk about passive income.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
the Poconos.
Back in the day, that was like the whole thing was like, get on a fucking TV show, get a movie. Like, that was originally what it was, because if you're part of that old generation, like, there are people that, like, think about, like, somebody like Pauly Shore. Like, all of his movies, like, it's not even like he's got, like, movies that people even give a shit about. But it's like, think about how much money he probably still makes off of Encino Man.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, just his Encino Man checks to this day are probably, any one of us would be able to live off of them pretty comfortably.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy.
Well, even remember when we first started stand-up, it was like, people were going to Montreal Comedy Festival and getting sitcom deals. Even when I started, the very tail end of this was people were going and getting full-on contracts for shows, like the whatever.
When I did Last Comic Standing, the deal was $100,000 was first prize, plus a sitcom development deal with NBC. That was like the golden carrot, where it was like, so when you were telling your jokes, when I did Last Comic Standing, you were trying to establish what this sitcom would be.
That's what everybody's act was in the 80s. Yeah. This is my family.
Yeah.
This is why it would be a good show. But this is when they were
training us and coaching us to what the material we were doing. Now, I had 6 minutes of jokes that could be done on network television at the time.
What was your sitcom?
That's it. The sitcom was Nazi.
It was Puerto Ricans in the Poconos.
Nazi Puerto Rican off the grid in the Poconos. Trying to save money on family vacations.
Super long title.
Yeah. But it was like, yeah, like that was sort of like, and it was so like, well, as I was doing it, I was like, I remember like, dude, if I get through to the next round, I don't have any more jokes.
You got one season of a sitcom.
Because you did 5 minute sets. Yeah. You did 5 minute sets for, and then they edited it down. I got 9 seconds on television.
So I was the same way.
Yeah,
the
literally
comic.
nine seconds. Yeah. One punchline I got when I was in Last Comic Standing on TV. And fucking, I remember they told me the episode I was going to be in, too, and I'm watching it the whole time, like with my family, and I wasn't in that episode. They just fucked up. And it's so funny, now you know about production. It was just some fucking asshole Jorge, some fucking dickhead who just didn't read the number right and like sent it out to me. And I remember I wanted to cry, dude. I'm like, oh, dude, they cut me all together. I'm watching it with my whole family.
Now that's a sitcom.
Like a fool. Like a goddamn fool.
Well, remember the problem they had, I don't know what season you did, but the problem they had back in the day when they were switching audiences, it got people to the point where comics weren't doing the show. And then Wanda, when she took it over, they had to have a meeting with everybody. That's when I auditioned. And they were like, just so you know, we're not going to play any games. We're gonna play it straight up. And they still fucked with people's sets.
What do you mean? How'd they fuck with it?
So you could have, back in the day, like 20 years ago, you could have gone on that show, Last Comic Standing, and you could have killed. But if you weren't casted properly, like if they didn't, the producers were like, nah, we don't want them to go ahead, they would switch your audience with somebody else.
Oh, and make it look like you bombed.
Make it look like you bombed.
That's what happened with Big J.
Wild.
That's what happened with Big J. Big J, and he got mad. Big J, like, legitimately. So then they have him on camera fucking punching a wall and being like, fuck! Like, he cared that much about...
about it. Bombing.
Oh, so yeah. they made it look like he was mad about how his set went.
Yeah, dude. So what happened with Big J was when he did Last Comic Standing, and he's just an idiot. He's a fool. We've talked about this on the podcast. The producer was like, yeah, dude, just do what you do. And Big J's like, so I can do, like, pussy fart, black, cum, fucking... They're like, yeah, just do what you do.
Has he watched TV?
Exactly. That's the point. So he does it and he kills, right? And then they don't put him through. And he has one of the best sets of the night. But it's like, yeah, Jay, they're not putting that through on NBC's Last Comic Standing. I'm sure all the judges went backstage and were like, oh, he's great. It was like, yeah, he can't do NBC. That's just crazy. Like, if the fact that you'd make that choice to do those jokes, and he was like, well, the producer told me to do that. Obviously, it's just fucking, he's got 100 comedians going and showcasing. He's saying, just do what you do.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, just do what you fucking do.
I mean, it's also not a coincidence. Those first few seasons were Barry Katz and Jay Moore, and Barry Katz's clients were all showcased.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not like to even pretend reality TV is reality TV. That's what it is. That's what the game is, just in general.
But it's so backwards from what stand-up is. Like, even the Joe Matarese thing was kind of crazy. You heard about that, right? With Joe Matarese on America's Got Talent. The one set, there's 2,000 people there. He does well. They have the music playing. His family comes out. He's crying. And then 2 episodes later, it's just him in front of the judges, and they make it, like, supposedly they cut it up to make it look like he bombed. So I'm like, by your show's logic, this guy became bad in 2 weeks? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Joe Matarese thinks that I hate him. Have I ever said I hated Joe Matarese, Shannon?
On air?
I don't hate him. I don't hate Joe Matarese.
You've been harsh on Skanks. You guys have been harsh on Don Skanks a little bit.
I've said I hate Joe Matarese.
Not explicitly, but you guys have been a little harsh towards him on Skanks.
In what regard?
Just like in a funny way, but kind of like trashing him. He's come up a few times, so I can understand how he would deduce.
Dude, I saw one episode of Skanks, and you used him as an example of like someone that kind of sucks, and then you were like kind of walking it back.
That doesn't mean I hate him.
Well, I mean,
well, but you if think you're him hearing that, you're not going to be like,
yeah,
oh, my pal Lou's talking about.
You think no, he sucks at the thing that he dedicated his life to?
I actually never said he sucks at stand up. I said he's a good stand up. He's a very professional stand up. He's been doing it a long time. What I said was on this show, Chris Scopo was on this show. And then he told me that
speaking
he's
of black butts.
He told me he's the co-host of Joe Matarese's podcast.
Okay.
So then I said to him, I was like, "Don't do that. That's like a terrible career move," which it is. And I also said, "Joe Matarese would tell you that. Joe Matarese would tell you, like, hey, dude, if you're attaching your horse to this cart, it's not necessarily a good career move." I'm not even saying don't do it. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Right.
I wish I had somebody that was that honest with me years ago.
Yeah. But it's not a good career move. It's really not. Like, you know, like it's.
But is he? I don't know him well enough. Is he the type that would say, like, "Hey, get out while you can, buddy. I get it if you don't want to do this with me." I don't know if he has that.
I don't think he has the self-awareness.
Right.
But that's not like he. It's like we make fun. Like everyone makes fun of each other.
Balls.
We're all like,
balls.
I've known Joe a long time. Like, yeah. He's always been a nice enough guy. It's not like there's no like hatred. And there's actually, it's not even disrespecting his like what he does at stand up. I'm just saying, if you're the co-host of the Joe Matarese podcast, you got to take a long look in the mirror at the decisions you're making in your career. You're choosing to be that. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing. You're choosing for your... Joe Matarese didn't choose to be himself. Yeah, Scopo's choosing that.
Why does he think you hate him?
I don't hate him. I really don't.
But
what else do you want? He's funny. All comics want to be told... This is the truth. We just want to be told that we're funny. Anything else, does it really matter?
No.
He's funny. He's a pro.
But why does he think that? Because you had to get back to you that you said Joe.
He said it. Shannon, do you have any more information about this? He said it on his podcast that he goes, "Oh, Louis J. Gomez hates me." And then whoever his guest was, he was like, "No, Louis doesn't hate you." He's like, "Why would you think that?" And then Joe goes, "Because he said it." And I was like, "When did I say that I hate him?"
And then you literally just said, "Did I ever say that I hate Joe Matarese?" And
maybe I might have.
Shannon was like,
"Well, Shannon, there's no H in well." Well,
that's not part of my accent. I do see. I would have to skim through this, but it says on the Blind Mike project, the title
says Blind Mike.
It says not our Blind Mike.
Straight Blind Mike.
Joe Matarese addresses Louis J. Gomez and WATP. I don't know what that is.
Who are these podcasts?
Oh.
You remember Who Are These Podcasts? And I remember we kidnapped the host's girlfriend.
Yes,
and I pulled a gun on her and we all gang raped her in the bathroom.
Yes, didn't we have to cut that out or something?
No, we had to remove the episode altogether. When Shane was dealing with SNL, because Shane was on the episode, we had to remove the episode altogether. But I think it's since then has been put back up. Make sure that episode's back up. That was a great classic, us gang raping Carl from Who Are These Podcasts' girlfriend, because he wouldn't talk shit about us. Because they talk shit about everybody, and I was like, "Who the fuck do you think you are? You're not going to trash my podcast, Carl." So we kidnapped his actual real life girlfriend.
Oh, that's his podcast.
Who are these podcasts? Okay. And they trash podcasts, and he wouldn't trash us. I'm sick of it.
You end up in a ring if you trash. Don't shit about these podcasts.
You want to fucking don't fucking come at me, dog. Or you better
don't fucking not come. At
I want to be come at.
Yeah,
well, come at me.
Come on him.
Come in me. Come in me, Carl. Carl, I still don't know who Carl is.
I see that name. Girlfriend we all read.
I see his name. I did listen. I only. If you talk about me on your podcast, you'll probably get me to listen to it at one point. I am an extreme narcissist.
So you're just searching all day.
All day, Googling myself, Redditing myself, YouTubing myself.
It proved effective.
I'm sorry. This might be completely out of context, but I do see in the closed caption where your name is.
Let's see.
So let's just see if this is it.
Reason that there are comedy clubs and synagogues instead of just having them all.
Oh, you had Ray DeVito on.
You think there's a reason?
Are we watching
Boston?
Blind Mike who watched Joe Matarese?
Yeah.
And people are watching us do this.
It's become a fucking Russian doll. Of
where are?
Content.
What is happening?
This is like Hackinception.
What is?
Somewhere
what
there's a top spinning and no one laughing.
There's one of those drink coins spinning from the
holy shit. Shit.
What happened?
Car.
Shit. She forgot to pay his parking.
I forgot to pay my fucking parking.
Mm. I know that. I speak Lewis.
Yeah, you at this point. You're just like an old married
couple. 4 minutes. Oh, thank God.
Oh boy.
107.346. Thank fucking Christ.
You gotta put that as a clip. Us commenting on them commenting on them.
It's meta.
It's very meta. Because I was watching that clip going, when are they going to start talking? I didn't realize they had them on pause.
Do you have them to find them talking? Shadow.
It's, oh. Find I just saw your name in the closed caption.
Joe Matarias, the point is I don't hate you.
I don't think you hate him.
So I don't think about you.
There's no vitriol there.
You know what? That's an honest. Yeah. That's an honest thing to say.
I never think
we don't
about
really.
I like the rest of society don't think about you. I'm kidding, Joe. You're great. You're established.
That's called breaking bull.
I don't hate you. I literally think nothing of you.
It's less than hate somehow.
Yeah.
Or more than hate.
But those shows, but even like, you know, those shows, that when they mattered, that's when they used to do that stuff. Those all those last comics and all that. Because then, yeah. I do believe that's what happened to them with the switcheroo on the, because it was America's Got Talent. And they are known for being just evil with that stuff.
This is all fucking... You see how it all works. Can't trust the television anymore. Can't trust the boob tube. I'm not trying to do. I have no. There's no part of me that wants to do TV at all, except for the fact that I want my son to like see me on TV because he's so lit on that. Like if I was on a TV show, he'd be like.
But it doesn't. Isn't TV YouTube for him?
Yeah, to a certain degree. But he also, there's still a separation.
Right.
You know, there's still. He knows he can upload to YouTube. Oh, thanks, Paco. You just knew that I needed one?
He probably saw you look around and then bang your cup into the table.
But it's insane how much TV does stuff, especially for stand-up and stuff like that, doesn't matter, even a third of what it did.
It's all a fucking 7 years ago. Over. All right, let's see. Okay, let's take a quick moment and thank YoDelta.com for being a longtime supporter of the show. We love YoDelta.com. From the makers of YoKratom comes YoDelta. If you're over 21 and living in a state where Delta 8 is legal, which is most states at this point, you got to get your Delta 8 THC from YoDelta.com.
You guys know what Delta 8 is. It's something found in hemp that can be legally shipped, and it gets you super high. They have a great mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. But let me tell you, this Delta 8 stuff, it works, and these products should be taken responsibly.
Yeah, right now, all you got to do to try out their products is go to YoDelta.com, use the promo code GAS when you check out, and you're going to save 25% off your order today. Get legally stoned for cheaper than regular weed. YoDelta.com. Use that promo code GAS for 25% off. All right, let's get back into it. 2 weeks after $30 million L.A. vault heist, and still no arrests have been made. There was a heist. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, heists are pretty big.
It was on Easter.
He too.
Easter heist.
Yeah. So they got away with $30 million. And it's just some interesting stuff surrounding it. So when they interviewed people in the surrounding
Where did they steal it from?
So it's this Garda World facility. You can share this. And they do, I'm trying to think of what it was.
It's like armored car, right?
Yes. Armored cars. Yes. And they supply money to banks and stuff like that.
You got one job, Garda World. It's in the name. What are you doing? You're letting these guys fucking dupe you.
I didn't even know they had vaults at those places. I always thought it was like, hey, they pick up and drop off and that's it. I didn't realize.
You gotta figure like, where is it coming from?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Whose money was it?
So it's. Banks, I believe it's coming from banks. So, but when they interviewed people in the surrounding area, everybody said that they lost their Wi-Fi for several hours surrounding the time that they think that this happened. Also, now they're finding out that there were several false alarms coming from this place, 13 of them over the 2 weeks before it. So it's like they spent a lot of time planning this out.
Wow. Setting off triggering false alarms so their guards would be down.
And then they shut down the Wi-Fi.
Or it was an inside job.
They still have no idea. They have no idea who did this and how they did it.
Is it in cash they sold?
Cash. $30 million
in cash. What do you even do? Because I thought about robbing
$30 million?
A bank. Recently,
$30
million. I was like, dude, I need to rob a bank, get out of tax debt. This is it. If just one more heist, one more and I'm going to get myself out. I really think about it. I'm like,
you're De Niro and Heat. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I could do one more heist. Dude, go back to the life of crime, get an even slate, make it all good, just fucking, then we're good from there.
Then I retire to the poker.
But it's never going to work. I know I'm getting caught if I rob that bank.
But honestly, that's the way you do, like, because I love stuff like this. That's the way you do it. What she just said with the Wi-Fi and the false alarm. Everything's based off technology now. So if you're throwing off a whole area like that, you could probably pull this off. You know what I mean? Like everybody's because what would it be? They probably, when they're hitting the emergency button, they would hit, but it would be connected up through Wi-Fi to like whoever, right? So that's pretty fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, look, dude, I fucking think it's great. I have no issue with stealing from banks. Steal from more banks, folks. That's what I say. But I do think about it every day. What a cool life that would be, robbing banks.
Dude, we had a doing guy heists. In my town try to rob. He robbed two banks. Both times he robbed them on foot. He had no getaway car.
Damn.
And he tried to run.
That's a good way to do it, though. You just hide in plain sight, dude.
Yeah, well, he
take off the ski mask, just throw it in the garbage, just walk down the street, put a book bag on.
No mask.
On a bus.
Well, yeah.
No mask.
Or you pull a Kaiser Soze. This guy's a retard.
Open faced, and then he hid under a bridge.
Wow.
Well, yeah. That's.
But he was waiting for the stars to go down.
Yeah.
But you pull
his car repainted.
You pull a Kaiser Soze, you walk in like with a disability walk out normal onto the street.
Smart.
Well, smart.
You walk in, you come in blackface.
Ooh, there you go.
But that's what
but
I.
But it turns out to be Billy D.
You're
Williams.
Black.
Yes, I would come in black.
Come in straight up, full flag black. Oi, yeah. What's up? I'm a black guy. Ooga booga. Like obviously, there's a racist that's pretending to be black, and you go off, wipe it off. You're a black guy the whole time.
We got robbed by a man in an Obama mask.
How would you get rid of the money though? You have $30 million, right? It's an AF cash, $30 million in cash. You got to launder the money. Like you and I right now. The first, because now you're like, I don't even know who to ask. Like, I try to think of like my grimiest friend, then I realize that it's me. And I'm like, I have no idea what to do with this
dude,
money.
That's crazy. You just made me realize that stealing $30 million now turns into a job.
It's a burden.
Like, if I wanted a job, I wouldn't be robbing banks in the first place.
It's a huge problem. So,
it has to be stuff that can be bought in cash and resold or be bought in cash.
Hookers.
Or you have a friend that works at a car dealership and he writes up paperwork that you bought a car. And for me,
I'm so paranoid that I'm going to get caught. Like, the only way I'm robbing a bank is you can't tell anybody. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, because the second that guy at the car dealership is the second they come to him and question him and he did anything, he's folding, dude.
Turning on you.
Because maybe it's a slap on the wrist for him. Maybe he just did something where he, like, turned a blind eye to something. He's not looking at jail time. But if he doesn't turn on you, he is looking at jail time. Now you're fucking done. So now you're literally, I have. Under my bed, $30 million in cash. I'm just peeling off 20s every day.
That's the way. You physically
that's crazy.
Burying.
That sucks because you're like literally now you're paranoid. You have all this hardcore physical evidence on you.
I think you got to get out of the country.
You can't get out of debt. You can't. Now I can't pay my tax debt. I can't pay off my fucking mortgage. You can't show up with fucking $800,000 in cash.
I think you go to Mexico.
Can you
but now you're leaving everything you know, every person you know. Like, it's more of a problem and more annoying. Like, are you giving up everything that you know to be rich and on the run in Mexico? Because I have a decent life. Like, I'm not giving up everything in my fucking life.
Well, that's why you don't rob banks.
I don't think bank robbers have decent lives, though.
But I think about it every day.
Yeah. And it's also a thing. Can you just be a regular citizen that does that and then goes to Switzerland and opens up a bank account straight up? Or you have to know somebody. Like, you have to be like Diddy or something when you're going off the grid.
In Wolf of Wall Street, didn't they specifically, somebody's wife was Swedish or from Switzerland?
English aunt was able to help them because she was maybe because she was European, and I think there's certain parameters you have to be. So you're gonna have to either rely on somebody with that, or you're burying it, and you're putting $1,000 in your bank account from a cash job that you have.
It's just too much money. It's just too much money. It's almost weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do?
Well, that's why a lot of people. That's why they set up shell corporations. And then run them with, like...
No, I know. You work for one, Jorge.
But that's...
You gotta know about shell corporations?
But there's specific accounting-type people that can help you, like, go through all the loopholes and stuff.
But once again, you're relying on people, and then also...
Yeah, they know what they're doing
now. Who's gonna turn you in?
I just robbed a bank in Paramus, New Jersey, right? I got $6 million in cash in a duffel bag. It's back in my house. What is step number one? Like, who the fuck am I Googling? Now I can't Google. If I Google, they're going to fucking see that I'm Googling how to. Like, I'm so paranoid. And I'm going like, dude, I just have this cash. I go to the diner. Like, I'm literally just buying shit forever, like normal shit with cash.
I think you'd have to. It'd have to be a thing where it's a no questions asked. You're buying things that are investments that are no questions asked with cash, but you're doing it measuredly. Like, so it'd be something like,
so as not to alarm anyone.
To not to alarm anyone. So it would be a business like that. How many businesses in New York City, you showed up with $2 million in cash, and you're like, now this is my diner or my whatever, my convenience store, whatever it is. Like, almost like the in Breaking Bad with the
that
the
paper trail.
Yeah, now you got to work hard at a diner so you can sell it for a profit. You got to make it a better diner.
Yeah, but at least you'd be something buying some of this investment. Because the other way around, it's like you're just but then what, based off that, and if it's, say it's something that does well, like that car wash did, you can, that allows you to have the spending ability you have besides that. So you have somebody run the car wash, and then you're buying boats and cars and shit based off, hey, we're making this amount.
I think you need an in at a casino to say that you won a ton of money.
That's what I was thinking. Winning.
That way, it's
but they watch that
account.
Like hawks that yeah, stuff. It's insane
yeah,
how
casinos are.
The first place they would go is they would look at every single employee. And
I think you're fucked. I think you're like sitting there with all this cash, and there's nothing really substantial you can do with it.
Finders keepers rules.
It's just you're just yeah. That's it. Like,
well, how about this? With the flip side of it, what
you can't even buy like a Lamborghini. You can't buy like a nice crazy car. As soon as they see that, right? That was like in Goodfellas, right?
He bought the Cadillac.
Yeah, he bought the Cadillac and he fucked
and
it.
The wife of fur coat.
He goes, I love that car.
Yeah,
it's
like,
in my wife's name.
But you're Puerto Rican, so people assumed you're just being irresponsible with money.
Yeah, maybe.
You could get away with it. You just move to the hood. Just move to the hood.
I guess
and
what
ball
you do
out.
What you do
start
is
making rap videos.
My Aunt Anne Marie, who's 86 years old, who has not a pot to piss in. There's a story there where she's been saving cash her whole life, and in her deathbed she left the family $1 million
mattress.
In cash that she's literally had in fucking cash.
Yeah,
but it's all those bills are marked.
And also,
dude, she robbed the bank.
You got to go sell them to a drug dealer. What you got to do is to launder the money. You have to literally say, "All right, give me 50% of the cash for this because I need to get rid of this." What, Jenna?
And that.
It says here that in this particular circumstance that most of the bills have already been in circulation so that that cash was not traceable.
It's not traceable.
Yeah. So that's one of the things. So, they nailed it, these guys.
Man, they're smart. This has got to be a movie at some point. Or like,
yeah, they probably have the back end figured out. Like, if they figured out the Wi-Fi and all that other shit, they probably are doing something pretty smart with the money.
Yeah,
like, you know, you kind of run into the same problem if you win see that whole thing when people win the lottery? And it's like, same thing. You can't really tell anybody. Because apparently, if you're supposed to get a lawyer, once you find out you win the lottery, you go straight to a lawyer's office and then you're anonymous, and then they do the collecting for you know they do the whole payout for you, the whole process. Because if you're public with it, because the amount of people who lose all their lottery winnings like in a year after they
but
make
why
it,
being public with it, why is it like,
because everybody comes out of the woodworks and you're going to get bamboozled in some kind of way,
I guess. Isn't that the same problem literally with anybody who is established at all that makes any money? Like, I wouldn't, like, if you're a millionaire, are you, like, you're just known as being a millionaire, are you constantly being bamboozled? Probably not. It's the new money. It's the person that's playing the lottery, that class of person who now has tens of millions of dollars, the people they associate with.
Yeah, it's a certain kind of rich.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what's up, nigga.
Rich.
Yeah, that I played the lottery the other night. I played the Powerball. My girl was like, she was like, let's play the Powerball, and I was like, fine. I was like, well, let's do it. I was like, well, I'll put in $10. You put in $10, and no matter who wins, if we win, we'll split it no matter what. And she's like, no, I'm gonna put in $5. You put in $10. And I was like, well, then these are my tickets.
Yeah, we're not.
I was like, you're out of your fucking mind. But then I'm going, well, what if one of her tickets wins?
Yeah, right.
I'd kill her. I'd actually kill her. I'd actually fucking kill her. Oh, man, that makes me so angry. I'm just supporting the family all by myself for this long. And then she's like, oh, look, I want it. $330 million.
See ya.
She'd be out. Out. Fuck.
No, but I would love to hear what the prep story was on this heist. That would be so cool. Like, have like a Netflix series based off this thing.
Heists are fun, dude.
Yeah.
Just something fucking fun about that.
What part of the heist would you want to be?
I watched Ocean's 11 with my son,
That was a great movie to watch with a kid, dude.
I want
to
be that little Asian dude that climbs in the box and shit. Yeah. Like, that's me. I'm doing the physical shit.
But you're a big guy.
I can get smart.
I'm going to be one of the two meathead brothers that know about blowing shit up, and we just argue a lot, and we constantly fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely my role.
That's one of those, like, the fixes in movies that we're... Oh, it's so much fun to watch.
It's such a good movie.
I'm the guy that fakes having a heart attack on the casino floor. to form a diversion.
I'd be in the same boat, though.
Yeah. I just fall.
even the sequels are good with that movie. It's just a fun watch.
Yeah, really good, really good.
The Italian Job was fun.
Italian Job's fun.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever saw it.
Driving around in Mini Coopers.
Yeah.
It made Mini Coopers hot for a minute.
It's a remake from like a 1960s movie.
I was going to watch The Italian Job when I went to Rome because they said it's a great movie to watch if you're going to Rome to like get to know the...
The layout? Or like you're like, oh shit, because you'll see all the locales. Yeah. It's good. It's like kind of like a Ocean's 11, but like it's not as good as that movie. But it's still solid.
Good for a kid?
Maybe. I don't know.
A little too heavy.
Wait, how
Mini Cooper's fun.
11? Yeah, I say about then he's fine. Yeah.
Not for James, but I feel like you would love taking a Pelham 1-2-3. Yeah.
That's great. It's a great one. Like, you know what's great?
That's a great, like, as far as like a robbery movie, that's, I think, as good as it gets.
Yeah, but I will say this. In The Italian Job, a large part of the movie centered around them getting away in Mini Cooper. They're basically in go-karts. It's Mario Kart. It's like a heist job Mario Kart. It's insane.
That's all the problem in the movie is the fact that they have cars that don't go fast.
Yeah. Smart cars.
Was another great one. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's with Bill Murray. He's dressed up as
Quick
a clown.
Change.
Quick Change.
It's amazing.
Quick Change. So as a kid, you're like, wow, dude, that's that easy to rob a bank. Let's go.
It's such a good movie. The Town's great, too. The Town is fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any more heist movies.
You didn't see The Town?
No.
it's like the Boston. It's like the Goodwill Hunting version of bank robbery movies. Yeah. Affleck and Pete Postlethwaite. Oh, it's so good.
The Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, Rene Russo and Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, they still paint. It's pretty
good. That's a remake, too, I think. That's what they did that back in the day.
Yeah. That's it. You have to buy art.
Yeah, that's what it is. They steal art.
If you rob a bank, you buy art. You have to start buying things that, like...
Yeah.
That you could happen upon.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Everything has to be cash-based. Yeah. But I think the thing that's making you money where you're inflating the profits of that thing, like that Breaking Bad situation... seems to be the best way to keep it with it. Then you can, once you have that, you can just, then you can buy whatever, not whatever you want, but
you need to open a cash business.
Trafficking women.
Right.
So there was that Italian, it was an Italian like pizzeria place in Philly that I got the Philly cheesesteaks from. What was it called?
Pat's Geno's?
No. It was like one of the less touristy ones.
Like Jim's or something? Not Jim's.
Oh, no. You're talking about like in the fucking neighborhoods.
Yeah.
In the
like DeSario's.
DeLisandro's. DeLisandro's. Yeah. I believe it was DeLisandro's. It was one of the two that like everyone was like, no, this is the real one.
I've heard that.
Pat's and Geno's for fucking tourists, which by the way, let me tell you something. They're better than all the other ones that say they aren't for tourists. I like Pat's and Geno's more. Every time.
No, you don't.
Pat's and Geno's great.
Really?
Pat's and Geno's is great.
You think it's better than all the ones that...
Better than DeLisandro's, better than all the other shit.
Yeah, you have an alcoholic palate.
Yeah, just at 1 o'clock in the morning, greasy,
hangover food.
Cheese whiz, onions, let's go.
Yeah.
Love it. Delicious. Amazing. But this motherfucker, I went to this place and it was straight up, they were like cash only. We got an ATM in the corner with a $4 fee.
Yeah, and they got long ass lines.
Doggy, this shit was no. We got there at 11 o'clock in the morning. This shit wasn't even lunchtime yet. There was a line out the fucking door, and it's a cash business. Italian guy just standing out front like this. The guy who owns the place, DeLisandro himself. All these fucking Mexicans just working, and he's just standing there with his arms crossed. And you're like, this is a straight up racket. There's no way they're paying the taxes on all. They're idiots.
This is how you know it's good. That line is, like you said, out the door, around the block, mostly black people, and nobody's acting up.
Yeah. No, they're all like no, we got to get our sandwich.
Dude, everybody is chill as fuck. Nobody's getting kicked out of that line. Because
DeLisandro's like, yo, get your fucking black ass out of here.
For sure.
You ain't ever coming back.
Yeah. I remember those braids. I'll never forget those braids.
That's like, there's a place in Williamsburg like where the Donnie Brasco area by like off Maspeth Avenue. There's like a place called like Junior and Sons or something. Some bar that's it's like Saturday at 8 it'll be closed. Monday at 2 it's wide open. A couple of comics went in there once and they're like, let me get a gin and tonic and I'll have a IPA. And the guy, the Italian bartender, brings over two Bud Lights, puts them in front, and goes, drink these and get the fuck out of here.
I kind of like a place that has like a cocksucker behind the fucking counter, like, hey, come on, let's go. And you're not ready. They're like, next. Sorry, next. Get to the back of the line. Like that shit. I hate it, but I like it.
Yeah.
Like I like it, but I hate it. When I'm not ready, I'll fight somebody. I'm like, all right, well, now I have to fucking headbutt the guy behind the counter. But I do appreciate, that was a place on 21st and 1st, a bagel place called Essa Bagel.
Great bagel place.
Great bagel place. Like, but you get there, if you weren't ready to order your order, by the time you got there, he'd go, next. And they'd be like, no, I'm next. He was like, next. And it's over. You don't get to say anything. You go to the back of the line, dude.
Yeah.
And this place was fucking always line out the door, packed. And you just knew. You knew to fucking have your shit ready. We went to a place. Where'd we go? Was it in Austin?
Which one?
Went to like a burger spot. And they were like, dude, they're like, dude, this place. They're like, they're fucking. It's like, trust me. It's like, Louis, be careful. Because they're assholes. And they're notoriously assholes to everybody when you go in. It's like,
In Houston.
Oh, it's Houston, right?
It was Andrew's friend's place.
Yeah, dude. And then I went in and they couldn't have been sweeter. They were the nicest people ever. And I was like, come on, where's the thing? You're supposed to be an asshole.
Yeah, right?
They saw it on you.
I wanted.
Well, that's why all those places do well, like your Dick's Last Resort and all that. They do like chains.
But that's almost
that's
like
manufactured.
That's super manufactured.
You want the actual guy.
They saw your aura, your red aura.
What was like, you know, the
like Ryu.
Soup Nazi. That was a thing.
I used to go to a truck stop with my dad called the Yankee Tower in Jersey. And the waitresses were the nastiest bitches. I'd go when I was like 7. We'd sit at the counter. At one time, a guy complained that there was a tooth in his food. And the waitress goes, come here. Opens his mouth and goes, it's not one of yours. And throws it in the fucking garbage.
Wow.
My dad has a memory of me, like 7-year-old, sitting at the counter. And I'm sitting talking to the waitress. She goes, you believe that guy? He's a fucking asshole. And I'm just sitting there talking to her.
Damn. Dude, I'm beefing with a local pizza shop because one time, this is like 2 years
prolonged?
Ago. Oh, yeah. This is like me and this guy are having an issue.
He threw a trash can through the window.
Yeah. That's a deep cut. That's a deep cut. So I go into this pizza shop to get one slice of pizza, and the guy that's about to put it in the oven, he licks his thumb as if he was turning a page in a book and grabs the pizza and puts it in the oven.
That's crazy.
And then I go, I'm good, and I walk out. Now, every time I walk past this pizza place and he's outside smoking, he bucks at me a little bit. And he's not going to keep disrespecting me in front of my fucking dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to develop an alpha relationship with this dog, and he's disrespecting me.
Also, the ball's on him. It's like, you licked the pizza. I'm not. Dude, out of pocket
it
here.
Was
you licked
insane.
The pizza.
And it's not even like it was like layers of pizza where he had to like get a pizza off of another pizza. It was regular pizza.
Yeah. Did you tell him why?
No, I was just like, I'm good, man, and just walked out.
But if he doesn't
know.
From his perspective, you're a crazy black person. Like you're like, let me get a slice of pizza. And then he's like, all right, cool. And then he puts it in the oven, you're like,
but his perspective doesn't know that you don't lick a pizza.
I'm sure he wasn't thinking.
He had like a wispy comb over, a ridiculous. He just didn't look like the type of dude I would have a rational discussion with about the thumb and shit. So it was like, let me just.
One thing black guys do love to do at pizza places is order a slice and then say which slice of the pie that's out that they want.
Yo, motherfucker, I'm taking the most pizza for my dollar.
No, the big one right there.
So in Philly, if you're a black person ordering a slice of pizza, they ask you which slice you want.
No.
Swear to God. They go, which one?
They,
sir, I don't want no problems.
People are going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, black guys love to do that.
Yeah.
There's so many
black guys and fat guys.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why, by the way, the black people are great. If you ever go to a fast food restaurant and you get a black person serving you, they're great because they ignore all of the portion control like things. Because they give you what they would want. Like you get French fries that are like pouring out of the bag. You're like, here, y'all.
Yeah. Every restaurant is a Five Guys. There's so many. I live out in Bay Ridge, and there's so many stores that I'm like, this is not a business.
Oh, absolutely.
Dude, I've told you about the liquor store I went to when my wife first moved to Bay Ridge.
I don't think so.
We're walking through, and it was about to be 5 o'clock on a Sunday, and it's like 4:50, right? And I go, let's go to the liquor store real quick. And it was one we had never been to on 86th Street. And I try the door, and it's locked.
Yeah.
I go, they closed early. And then this woman just unlocks the door, and she goes, we lock door because cat will get out. Let's us in. From the outside of the store, it looks like a fully stocked liquor store.
Yeah.
I grab a bottle of Smirnoff off the shelf, empty behind it. They had two bottles of everything. That's it. Go up to the counter. The lady opens up a pretend register.
She made the sound cha-ching.
That just had cash in a drawer. Gives me my change. Follows us and locks the door behind us. And we're like, God. We interrupted a fucking murder.
That's a Satriali's type scenario.
Yeah, there's a guy hanging upside down by his ball sack, and somebody with a blowtorch just waiting for that door to lock.
Now, where were we?
Holding a cat?
What's it called? We're going to wrap this up in here in a minute. I don't think we ever did plugs, though, on today's show, right?
I don't think so.
Let's fucking plug it up, boys, and then we'll get out of here. Thank you guys for being here. Support all these guys. Check them out live on the road. Donnelly, what are you plugging?
I just brand new Jerks podcast. I'm in Pennsylvania, but I forget the name of the place this weekend. And then I'm in Long Island as well on Saturday, coming up this weekend in the Bolton Center in Bayshore. And then, at Shawnee Time on Instagram. And check out the pod. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I mean, you already know, check out Chakra Poppers, but I just started a solo podcast, Break the World with Sydney Gant. Check it out. By the time this comes out, my episode, the deep dive into racial slurs will be out. So come check it out, man.
Same episode on Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show. As Sid, I actually have a 420 episode that is going to be dropped by the time this comes out. Exclusive Gas Digital content. Zach gets too high to watch Troll 2 again. Really, really silly.
Come see me live this weekend. I will be at American Comedy Company. That's the 25th through the 27th. That's in San Diego. Then I got the Denver Improv coming up May 3rd and 4th. Then I got Grand Rapids coming up, Glendale, Wisconsin, Las Vegas, Nevada, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, Fort Worth, Dallas, New Orleans, Lafayette. The Regs doing the Cape Cod Melody Tent this summer, which I'm really excited about that. Me, Bobby Kelly, Dan Soder, and the great Joe List. Tacoma, Spokane, Appleton, Janesville, and more. All already up on the website. The Mediocre Tour should have the rest of my year booked up probably by the end of the month, guys. So keep on checking back. I'm going everywhere. Working on Chicago, working on Salt Lake City, working on Nashville, working on fucking San Francisco, Sacramento. A lot of these dates are already booked. So keep on looking out, guys. All new material. Going to probably film a new special in January if you guys are in the London, England area. Look out for that because I think I want to do my next special there. And make sure you guys subscribe to Gas Digital. You guys love the show. You guys support the show. The best way to support this show is by subscribing to GasDigital.com. Use the promo code RAP14. It will give you a 14-day free trial, which gives you the premium access to the podcast. We do a bonus episode every week. Every Friday, you get a bonus episode. Plus, you get all of our archives, the On Demand Library, over 1,000 episodes that are not available anywhere else. The whole history of the show in one place, ad-free and uncensored. Save $1.50 a month as well. Try it out for 14 days. Use that promo code. Get the app, iPhone, Android, all that other shit. And check out my other pods, The Regs, Legion of Skanks. I got two specials on YouTube that you guys can watch for free. And thank you guys for supporting this show and supporting all the shit that we do. We love you guys. Skankfest tickets, I'm hoping are sold out this point. We're close to. Probably the all-access ones are. Typically, they sell out. But if you can still get Skankfest tickets, grab some single-day passes. Skankfest.com. Shout out to Yo Kratom for supporting all the things that we do. And we'll check you guys Friday. Peace.
That's all, folks.